was written to prove to Jewish believers that there was none quite like Jesus Christ, none better than He. And beginning in chapter 4, all the way now through chapter 10, He is proving to those Jewish believers that Jesus Christ is better than their old religious system, better than any high priest, that His sacrifice is better than the sacrifices of old. In Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, I want you to follow along again as I read verse 19 through verse 25. And then we want to consider this passage together after we have bowed and asked the Lord's blessing. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful today that we can come and gather together to study the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that the message that we find recorded for us on the pages of Thy Word is truth. It is powerful. Lord, we know that Thy Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to discern the dividing asunder of heart and spirit. Lord, we ask and pray today that You would be able to help us and teach us through Thy Word, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might be a people unto the praise and honor and glory of our Savior. And Lord, I pray that we would see the wonderful blessings that have been bestowed upon us, that we would learn to appropriate those blessings in our daily life, that we would go forth in a victorious way, serving our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and bringing others to His precious name. So, Lord, we thank You and we praise You again for our time to come and gather together at the feet of our Savior. We'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I today live in a world that is very concerned with waste. We want to reduce as much waste as we can possibly do within our world. We are encouraged to go green and to recycle all that we can. In fact, did you know that North America is the largest producer of waste in all the world? It is estimated that on average, each person in North America produces 4.4 pounds of solid waste each day, which works out to be closely 1 ton of waste per person per year. If you take that thought further, you'll find that it means that 5% of the world's population produces 40% of the world's trash. I have to get this one in because I like chocolate. We live near Hershey. I thought this was an interesting fact. Hershey Foods produces each day 80 million kisses. In order to produce 80 million kisses, they must use enough aluminum foil to cover 50 acres. You say, what's 50 acres equal to? 40 football fields. Every day, they use enough aluminum foil to cover 40 football fields. And did you know that all of that is recyclable? How many of us take the time to recycle our little Hershey Kisses wrappers? I don't think so. We just can't wait to dig into them and throw them away. We live in a world that is very much consumed with recycling and reducing our waste. And as great of a tragedy that it is that we waste so much within the physical world, there is a greater tragedy that exists today, and that is the amount of waste that we find in the spiritual realm. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been given all spiritual blessings through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. All who believe on Him have been provided these wondrous blessings. Yet the sad reality is that although we possess such blessing, very few live in light of those blessings and use those blessings. For too many, these blessings are being wasted day by day. The writer of Hebrews in this section wants us to not only see that we possess the blessings, but he wants us to understand that we need to appropriate those blessings in daily life. W. Griffith Thomas, in his commentary, aptly stated, "Spiritual wealth, like every other form of riches, does not consist merely in possession, but in knowledge and use. It is not enough that we possess wealth, but we would be wise to use that wealth for our benefit. You and I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Therefore, we ought to use those spiritual blessings wisely day by day. Yet, for too many believers, we have forgotten our present possessions. Therefore, we are not using them for the honor and the glory of the Lord, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of Him." And so the writers of Hebrews wants us to see the importance of understanding what we already possess and then how we should use those in the way that we live each and every day. I want to begin this morning by considering our present possessions. As we come to this portion of Scripture, beginning in verse 19, the writer of Hebrews begins this portion of the letter by reminding us of the present blessings that we already possess. And in fact, he's going to point out two things with us that are ours as spiritual blessings that we possess. These two things are shared with us in order that we might be encouraged in our own spiritual life. And as we understand these possessions, we are then encouraged to go on and continually possess God's riches and blessings. These present possessions that we have are introduced to us in verse 19 and verse 21 by the word having. You'll see it there beginning in verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Verse 21 says, "And having an high priest over the house of God." That word having is a significant word. The word reminds us of that which is about to be shared is a present and a conscious reality. We today have these blessings. We have boldness to enter into the throne of grace. We have a great high priest who is ministering in our behalf. We have. It is a present reality. Now, it's a blessing to know that as a Christian, life is more than a remembrance of what we once had or what we one day will have. The reality is we have present blessings today. The Christian life is more than what we had, our past, and what we shall have, our future. Sometimes we get caught up in the past and the future, and we miss out on the blessings of our present. We have spiritual blessings, and we ought to be taking care to avoid the waste of those spiritual blessings within our lives. We need to reduce the waste spiritually. We need to understand our present possessions. In these present possessions, there is blessing and power and in our present possibilities. What are these possessions? Verse 19 reminds us that today we have therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have access to God. In your present life today, as you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you have access to God. You have the willingness, you have the opportunity to boldly enter into His very presence. We have boldness to enter into the holiest. We have been granted by the work of Jesus Christ access to the Father. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, we find these words. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because Jesus Christ did His work upon the cross of Calvary and we have been justified, we have been declared righteous, we have been granted access to God. We have the right and the privilege to enter into the very presence of Almighty God, to enter into the holiest. The word boldness indicates for us an inward confidence that produces an outward courage. We have boldness to enter in to the holiest. As a child of God, we can have confidence in every area of our lives because as His children, we've been given the present reality that we can access Him at all times. We have boldness to enter into the presence of God. Please be reminded that that access is because of Christ's sacrifice. As the writer of Hebrews is writing this letter, I'll remind you, he's writing to Jewish believers. So there's an image here within their mind as they read. And I remind you of the image. He reminds them that they have boldness to enter into the holiest. He's picturing for them the tabernacle and the temple. And as the priest would be able to go in once a year to the holiest of holies, there to enter into behind the veil, into the place in which the Ark of the Covenant dwelt, and there where God's presence would be. Only the high priest could enter there, and he could only go once a year. And the writer alludes to that now and says, you and I, who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, can enter in boldly to that room, the holiness, where God's presence resides. For the Jew, that happened on the Day of Atonement. For you and I, we can come to God at any time. We're told that we can go into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, verse 20, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Verse 20 tells us that our access to God is a new, it's a living way. Again, the old covenant, the Old Testament, only permitted access to God once a year. And that sacrifice, it needed to be repeated each and every year. But we're reminded that by the blood of Jesus Christ, it is a new and a living way for you and I. That word new is used only here in the New Testament. And the word literally means to be freshly slain. The idea of that concept is this. By a new or freshly slain way, you and I have access. Understand that the priest would walk into the temple once a year with the blood. And he would have to freshly kill the animal and sprinkle the blood. But a new year would come and new blood would have to come in. A new sacrifice would have to be made. Because the blood of old was no longer any good. There has to be a new sacrifice. But in Jesus Christ, His blood never grows old. Its vitality remains. By His sacrifice, we have a living way. We can come and enter boldly into the presence of Almighty God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you understand the blessing you possess? An Old Testament saint never possessed such a blessing that you and I have in the New Covenant. You and I can at any time of our day and night enter into the very presence of Almighty God. In simple faith, we can come. We have access to the Father. The verse in Sunday school was mentioned of praying without ceasing. No, we cannot go throughout our day every day praying for 24 hours a day, but we certainly have a wonderful blessing. At any moment in time, we can be in His presence. We don't have to fall on our knees and have a quiet room. We can be out and about and involved in everything of life. And in the moments of time, we can be somewhere, but still be in the very presence of Almighty God. We have access to Him. There's nothing so rewarding for a child than to know that they have access to mom and dad whenever they want. That provides peace and comfort to children. That when they need us, we are there. That ought to be our heart as parents. The reality is we can't always provide that. Sometimes we just can't be there. But the reality is God is always there. We have access to Him. We have boldness to enter His presence by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the new and living way. And secondly, we're reminded that we have an high priest. Verse 21, we have an high priest over the house of God. What a wonderful joy and blessing it is to know that you and I today have a great high priest who has entered into heaven for you and I, and He there is ministering in our behalf. He intercedes for you and for me. And He is there to help and minister to our every need. We have a great high priest in Jesus Christ. He today is in heaven as our high priest. He knows the feelings of our infirmities. He lives that He might help us day to day. Turn back in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 2. Now look with me at verse 17 and 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. What a wonderful blessing to know that we have one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and lived upon this earth as you and I. And He lived in absolute righteousness and holiness without sin. But He was tempted in all points like as we are. And having gone through the experiences of mankind, He today, as our high priest, is able to succor or to help those who today are tempted. He knows what you and I face. He understands the struggles of the human flesh. But He endured without sin. And He today, as our high priest, is able to help those of us who are enduring the problems of this world. We have one to whom we can turn. He is always there. Now turn to chapter 4. I remind you of verse 14 through 16 of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16. We're told, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that phrase that we find, that He is not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows our weakness. I'll remind you, the word is infirmities, not iniquities. He doesn't feel for what when we sin. He feels for the fact of our weakness. The psalmist said it this way: God knows our frames. He knows we are but dust. He understands our human frailty. He understands the weakness. And He today, as our high priest, is there that He might help and succor those of us who are tempted, who are going through the difficulties of life. Do you understand the wonderful blessing that we have today of an high priest? Are we enjoying those blessings? In the midst of whatever we face, whatever trial and trouble may come, whatever joy and jubilation we might be experiencing, we have access to Almighty God. And we have access to our great high priest who desires to care for our every need. What a blessing is ours. It's not something that we look back and say, that's something we had. That's something we will have. It's something we presently possess. We have access to the Father. And we have the Son, who is our great high priest, who desires to help us in all that we face. And you and I now need to take advantage of those wondrous blessings and possessions. And that's what the focus of verse 22 and following is all about. We understand our present possessions. Now we need to see our privileges accessed. Beginning in verse 22, the writer shares with us three exhortations based upon Christian graces in order that we might not waste the bounties and blessings of the Lord. Each of these exhortations begins with the phrase, "Let us." There's the connection between having and the "let us." Because we have, let us now. Because of the blessings that we possess, let us now use, access them, enjoy them. We have been given all spiritual blessings. Let us now use those blessings that have been given to us. The writer wants us to see that in light of all that we have, we need to do more than recognize that they exist. We need to use them. We need to enjoy them. So he challenges us in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What do we need to do in light of the present realities of the blessings that we possess? We need to, first of all, exercise our faith in worship. The writer encourages us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance. This is our upward attitude. Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice, has made it possible for us to access the throne room of God. Therefore, we ought to take advantage of such a privilege and draw near unto Him. Understand again with me that in ancient times, this concept of drawing nigh to God was a foreign concept. It wasn't a concept that was understood by Jewish believers. That privilege to enter into the very presence of Almighty God was restricted mainly to the high priest, who entered in behind the veil once a year on the Day of Atonement. The average Jew stood out around the tabernacle, stood out around the temple, and there they would watch to see if he would return from that place of the holiest of all, that they might know that their sins had been forgiven. But the privilege to enter into the very presence of God was once a year to the high priest and him alone. All who would dare to enter in there would find their death. But you and I have access to God's presence. And therefore the writer says, then let us draw near. Let us exercise our faith in worship. By faith we ought to enter in and there know the blessing of fellowship with God. The author now expands and expounds upon this privilege with the conditions of our entrance. He says that we are to come with a true heart. That means we are to come in sincerity, without hypocrisy. We are to come with full assurance, to come with boldness, with our mouth wide open, expecting a blessing from God, knowing that He delights to do good unto His children. We can come, and we ought to come, with sincerity of heart, with full assurance of faith. Why can we do that? Because, folks, you and I, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, have had our hearts sprinkled with blood and our bodies washed by pure water. We've been redeemed. And therefore, we have the right. The question is, are we taking advantage of such a privilege to enter into His presence? Or are we wasting such opportunity? And day by day, and moment by moment, situation upon situation, that we simply refuse to allow God in. He longs to fellowship with you and me. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been granted the privilege of entering into His presence. Therefore, let us exercise our faith in worship. Let us draw near. There's a second responsibility. We should exercise hope in our walk. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. We're to exercise hope in our walk. We're exhorted to hold fast the profession of our faith in light of the hope of heaven. This is not our upward attitude. This is our forward attitude. In light of our present possessions, we ought to ever be moving forward in our Christian walk. We are to hold fast to our profession of faith. We have the hope that Jesus Christ is coming again. Heaven is our home, and He is faithful that is promised. Therefore, we ought to ever be going forward for the Lord, holding fast to the profession of our faith. Exercising hope in our Christian walk. There are many things designed by the enemy, the devil, and many things within the flesh of our own self that wants to keep us from walking close to the Lord, that wants to draw us away from that nearness with Him, that wants to cause us from faithfully following Christ on the paths of righteousness. Yet you and I possess in spiritual blessings access to God and the high priest who knows the infirmities that we face. And we have the hope of His coming. And we need to then continue on and be faithful in our walk. Our walk is to be one that does not waver. The idea of that term simply means to bend. We are to stand firm in our faith because of our hope and God's faithfulness. Therefore, my beloved brethren, we ought to stand firm in our faith. We ought to always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know our labor is not in vain, we can be steadfast. We're unmovable. Never wavering, because He is faithful. We have a hope of His promise. We have the hope of His coming. The word hope speaks of expectation. And expectations in God bring joy to the believer. Let us therefore keep going forward for the Lord. Now look at verse 24 and 25. We find this challenge. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We're to exercise faith in worship and exercise hope in our walk. We need to exercise love in our watch. Verse 24 encourages us to consider the needs of others, to watch out for their interests and their needs. This is our outward attitude. In worship and in faith, we are looking unto God. In our hope, we are looking forward. In love, we are looking outward to the needs of those around us. You and I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We possess this blessed access to the Father. We know the joy of the ministry of Christ. Should we not then seek to bring encouragement to others? And that's what the writer of Hebrews is here saying. We are to be provoking others to good works. This is the only time in the New Testament this word provoke is used in this light. It's used in other places of Scripture. It's actually used of a father in relationship to their children. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's a negative. But here we are told positively to provoke to love and to good works. The word provoke literally means to exasperate. Fathers are not to exasperate their children, to bring them to the place that there is wrath and anger against their authority and about their God. We have to be careful of that in the way we deal with our children. But we as brothers and sisters in Christ are to so provoke one another to love and good works. We ought to be reaching out to others that we would actually exasperate them to do good works. And to show love. Verse 25 tells us the best way for us to do this. And that's through the ministry of the local church. How are we best to fulfill verse 24? We're told in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. The best way for us to exercise love in our watch is through the ministry of the local church. There is no greater blessing for the believer in this world than the blessing of being able to exhort and encourage one another in the things of God. You know, we all tend to experience trials, days of adversity and difficulty. And there are days that we're just going to be down. There are going to be times within our life that we're going to struggle with the thoughts and the issues of depression. We don't often like to admit those kind of things happen in our life. We don't like to admit that some days are just harder than others, and some days it just doesn't seem like we want to get up and do the things that we need to do, and we don't necessarily want to walk with the Lord, and we don't want to have our devotions, we don't want to have our prayer time, because we have the tendency to walk into church, and we want to put on the front, we want to let everyone know that everyone's okay here. I've got my Bible, and I've got my smile, and I know what to say, and I'm okay. We at times are hypocrites and fakes with one another. And yet God says within the church we have the wondrous blessing of being able to exhort and encourage one another unto love and good works. By the way, it's okay that everything is not always fine. I have learned to hate one-word answers. Ask my staff. How's it going? Fine. Good. Expound on that for me. Everything's okay is what they're telling me. Thanks a lot. That does not help. Are there problems? No. That's not what your face just said. You know we do that sometimes within church. Hey, Brother Tim, how you doing?
Fine.
Everything going all right?
Yes.
Sister Carla, how's everything going at work this week?
Fine. I'm okay.
And we lie right through our teeth one to another. Everything isn't fine. Everything isn't okay. But the wonderful blessing is God has given to you and I a church and a body of believers that we can gather together, and there we can exhort and we can provoke one another to love and good works. Sometimes life is hard. Some days it is difficult. of God. But there are others there that can come along and encourage and exhort. And we ought to be a part of that. But our problem is we don't want to get involved. Ministry involves a risk. To reach out to others always involves a risk. To truly ask someone how they're doing and ready to stay there and wait for their answer. Because by the way, it goes the other way. We ask, how are you doing? And all we want to hear is, please do not elaborate. I just want to hear fine. Dinner is almost done. Oh, let me tell you what everything, oh no. 20 minutes later, they're still talking about all their problems. And we're going, why can't they just say fine? Because you know what? Life isn't fine. There's a risk involved. This last week, someone that we know and love and care about a great deal, another pastor of ours, a friend of ours, has gone through a very difficult time. Because 13 years ago, he did what was right. And 13 years later, someone decided to go national and lie about things, and now his name and reputation are being dragged through the mud. Everything that that person said is a lie. And this pastor friend of ours posted a website to let others know what's going on, and I appreciate so much his graciousness and his love toward others, and even to the one that's making these accusations against the way things were done in their life. He said, ministry involves a risk. We know that when we entered in. But still, there's no greater joy and blessing of being able to minister to the lives and the heart and the needs of other people. People can twist and turn everything that we say and do for their own benefit. And those who minister know the heartaches that come with ministry. But there is no greater joy. To be able to see the Lord use our lives to affect and touch the lives of others. He later wrote last night on one of his posts, he said, my wife and I had the wonderful privilege to lead a dear family to the Lord tonight and to understand that God is still able to use us in his work in ministry. Folks, God has called us to possess the blessings that we have and then to use them. We have been given the privilege of accessing the very presence of Almighty God. We have a great high priest who is ministering in our behalf. Let us then draw near with a full heart of full assurance, a true heart of full assurance. Let us hold fast to our profession of faith, and let us provoke one another unto good works and love, because we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We are truly a blessed people by our God. We've only discussed some of the very things of his blessing. And if you and I would try to write the whole of the blessings of God, the world could not contain the volumes of books that it would take to write them in. Because we have been blessed beyond measure. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Here's the question for you and I this morning. Are we wasting the blessings that have been bestowed upon us? Are we, like most North Americans, simply consuming that which we want spiritually and throwing away the rest into the landfills? Are we wasting what God has given to us? I'll remind you of the quote that we shared earlier this morning, and that is simply this. Spiritual wealth, like every other form of riches, does not consist merely in possession, but in knowledge and use. We possess today spiritual blessings. Let us then use those blessings wisely for our good, for our growth, and for the growth and good of others all around us. Let's pray.